Sinn Féin's demand for a standalone Irish language act is being used to try to, quote, humiliate unionists and those who believe in a British way of life. This is the claim by the DUP leader, Arlene Foster. Here's what she said when speaking to the Sunday news programme yesterday.
Our position is very clear in relation to the Irish Language Act. We do not believe, and we have failed to be convinced, that there's a need for an Irish Language Act, a freestanding Irish Language Act. And in many ways, this has become a totemic issue insofar as Sinn Féin collapsed the executive in January. We had an election. People put us back with our respective strengths into the Assembly. And they wanted to see us back in governing in that assembly immediately. But Sinn Féin has decided to ring-fence the freestanding Irish Language Act in a way that frankly makes it impossible for those of us who want to move forward but see that this has just been used as a way to humiliate unionism and those of us who believe in the British way of life.
This morning I've been speaking to Sinn Féin's John O'Dowd. I asked him what he thought about Arlene Foster's comments.
I think it's very disappointing commentary from Arlene Foster. It adds, I think, to that perception that the DUP are refusing to recognise the reality of the situation and indeed the rights and entitlements of Irish language speakers. And, you know, harks back to several months ago when we hear comments like crocodiles, the Gregory Campbell comments, like curry may yogurt, all those things. It's just beggars belief that after several weeks of discussions with the DUP that anyone in the DUP would be left with the impression from Sinn Féin that was our intention.
Yeah, but you do say that what how you want to live your lives in this country is to represent everybody, unionists, nationalists, everybody, don't you?
That's correct.
So why do you want a standalone Irish Language Act? Why not an act that protects all languages?
Well, it goes back to previous agreements, Stephen. The changes in Irish society have came about by the fact that political parties, governments, signed up to agreements and that we set out a pathway for the future going ahead. And as part of those agreements, there was compromise on all sides. But there was also hope and protections given to all sections of Irish society. The Irish language-speaking community were given a commitment to have a standalone Irish Language Act. That should be lived through. It threatens no one.
But, John, that's the past you're talking about. So, present day, where we are now, why, if Sinn Féin is genuine about this, and if this is not being used as a political weapon, then why are you not saying, we want an act for everybody, to protect all languages? Why are you not saying it would be wrong to have an act for just one section of the community? Because that's exactly what you're doing.
Well, firstly, let's dismiss this myth that the Irish language is for one section of the community. It is not.
It's predominantly.
50 of the 90 MLAs in the Assembly are seeking an Irish Language Act. Among that 50, there are people who are unionists, who are British, and see themselves as British as any member of the Democratic Unionist Party. There are Irish language speakers out there who are unionists and British, and as British as any member of the Democratic Unionist Party. So it's not predominantly for one section of the community.
The Grand Master of the Orange Order has described what you're doing as a cultural weapon for political republicanism. The Ulster Unionist Party leader, Robin Swan, has said he is absolutely against it. The Democratic Unionist Party leader is saying that this humiliates both unionists and the British way of life. You've got to listen to that.
Well, we have to examine that. And yes, we have to listen to it, but we have to examine it and we have to interrogate it. Does the Gaelic Act in Scotland or the Welsh Act in Wales undermine those Scottish unionists or Welsh unionists? Are Scottish or Welsh British people? No, it doesn't. And with Arlene's speech a fortnight ago, herself, she said that the Irish language is a threat to no one. So what has changed in this last fortnight to change that attitude? What has changed in this last fortnight to make Arlene Foster come out with a comment such as she did yesterday?
What has changed from Sinn Féin saying that it wants to represent everybody? I heard you this morning with Chris Buckler on Gamoo saying you would have no objection to Ulster Scots being protected within legislation, correct?
Correct.
So why not bring the legislation together? If this is not some type of political weapon, while people who have voted for you are sitting on hospital waiting lists and they're getting worse, and there's no government here to sort it, why not give a little bit more? Why not have an act for everybody if what you're saying is what you really mean?
Well, it goes back to the fundamental of politics, trust, assurance from each other. When you make an agreement with each other, those agreements will be fulfilled.
So you're going back again. This is all about what was agreed in the past.
Stephen, see, the changes in our society have been brought about by political agreements, and those political agreements have to work, and they have to be seen to work. So, yes, there should be a standalone Irish Language Act.
Should there be a standalone Ulster Scots Act?
If others were to bring forward a standalone Ulster Scots Language Act, then they should do so.
But
we will support. And as I said, I also said this morning that an Ulster Scots Act will not humiliate my Irish republicanism, and it will not undermine my Irish.
But there is a slight contradiction in what you're saying, John. You're saying if others want to bring forward an Ulster Scots Act. If you understand the importance of language and you're saying you're representing everybody, why are you not insisting on an act that protects all languages in Northern Ireland? And you're not doing that, you see.
I'm insisting on the implementation of outstanding agreements.
You're going back again.
No, I'm not going back, Stephen. I'm going. The reality, and I repeat it again, we bring about change in this society through the political agreements we have reached, through the compromises that all sides of our society have reached, and ensuring that when we make an agreement, that those agreements are fulfilled.
Is it not the end result that matters here? So rather than harking back to what might have been agreed in the past, because we've seen how that produces stalemate in Northern Ireland many, many times, John, why is it not about the end result here? The end result of getting a government back so that people who are sitting in pain, Sinn Féin voters and unionist voters and voters of all political parties, they're literally sitting in pain while this impasse continues. So why not reach out and say, OK, we will accept an act for everybody. Now try answering that question without referring back.
Stephen, you cannot say to a political party or a political activist saying that you've made an agreement in the past, but guess what? We're not going to do that anymore. Things have changed. We're just going to dismiss that. How on earth can we stabilise our society moving forward for future political agreements in the future if there's attitude that's going to be taken that political agreements are meaningless? They have to mean something. They have to be implemented. And the rights and entitlements of Irish language speakers in this society have been denied for decades and centuries, and that now has to be rectified.
And if those...
As part of our moving forward, as part of our new society, the rights and entitlements of Irish language speakers, the rights and entitlements of many, many other sections of this society which have been denied by political unionism have to be enacted.
And if those rights and entitlements, those exact same rights and entitlements, were enshrined in an act which also included Ulster Scots, which also included other minority languages, you would not accept that simply because of the status of something being standalone. If Irish language was completely protected in the same way, Sinn Féin are still not going to give an inch. Is that right?
Why can there not be a standalone Irish language act? Can there not be same-sex marriage in this society? Why can there not be equality for all citizens in this society? Why is it such a threat? And we refer back again to our speech.
John, you haven't answered the question.
No, but Stephen,
the question is that if every single bit of what you wanted within an Irish Language Act was there, but it was just within the same document as protecting Ulster Scots, are you telling people you will continue to refuse to go into government unless it's standalone?
But Stephen, I am answering it because the question has to be asked. Why can there not be a standalone Irish Language Act?
Why can't there be an act protecting everybody in Northern Ireland?
Why do we have to hide these things away? Why is it systemic?
It wouldn't be hidden away. It would just be within a document that protects everybody.
No,
come on, John.
No.
Why not? What's Sinn Féin really about here?
And go back to Arlene's speech a fortnight ago.
You're going back again.
Let me go back 2 weeks. I don't think 2 weeks is too far. Arlene's professed a fortnight ago throughout her speech of how proud she was to be a unionist, how proud she was to be a member of the UPA, and how proud she was to be British. So if all those things matter to Ireland, and I'm not questioning it for a second, of course they do. In Scotland, you have a standalone act. In Wales, you have a standalone act. And across Britain, you have the right to same-sex marriage. All those rights are being denied by Arlene's party in this part of the world. So the question is, why? Why is political unionism so traumatised by the giving rights and entitlements to citizens?
You see, I think the big
Arlene's words exist in other parts.
I think the big question for you this morning is, why have you not been able to say, yeah, let's do it? If every single bit of what you wanted in an Irish Language Act sat within an act that protected all languages in Northern Ireland, I think that's the big question you've been struggling with this morning.
No, I go back to the point. Agreements were made, they have to be implemented. Citizens' rights, whether it be Irish language rights, whether it be same-sex marriage rights, whether it be a society built on entitlements and rights, has to be built in this society if we're going to continue the programme of change. There's no avoiding it.
Sammy Wilson has said the Standalone Irish Language Act, I'm paraphrasing him, but he says Republicans need a reality check. What they're asking for is an impossibility.
Sorry, I missed. Who said this?
Sammy Wilson.
Yes, Sammy said, made comments over the weekend. Arlie made comments over the weekend. Jim Shannon made comments over the weekend about all of these things. But the question, and this is, the question has to be popular. Why?
Okay.
Why is it an impossibility?
Okay.
Why is it such an anathema to political unionism that it cannot happen?
Okay. John O'Dowd, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
So that's Sinn Féin representing their view this morning. We've got to say that both the DUP and UUP can't find anybody to represent the unionist view on this programme this morning, which is in itself, if you think about it, why would they not want to be protecting you if they see you as having voted for them on the airwaves this morning? What on earth is going on to that respect? Because the DUP, etc., don't come on, doesn't mean that we can't ask questions of them. So let's ask those questions of Arlene Foster, for example. So she's gone within a couple of weeks of saying there's nothing to fear from Irish language to a standalone Irish Language Act would humiliate unionists. She says a standalone Irish Language Act would humiliate those who believe in a British way of life. So, Arlene, for those who believe in a British way of life, how would an act that simply protects the Irish language humiliate them? On what circumstances would it humiliate them? An Irish Language Act compared to people sitting on health waiting lists, Arlene? You're going to stand and fight it? And meanwhile, the health service continues to deteriorate?